Thank you very much indeed. Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here in Hull. It's my first time visiting Hull, and it's great to be with you all this morning. So, as Chris said, we're bringing in this terminology today more of nuclear. Nuclear was mentioned, I think, three times, if I remember rightly, playing word bingo yesterday. Hopefully, we'll hear it a few more times today. National Nuclear Lab is the government-owned national lab for fission. So, fusion is sticking small things together. Fission is spitting up the big stuff. So spitting uranium, our current nuclear power stations in the UK, are all fission reactors. And we are the government-owned lab for nuclear fission. When we think about nuclear, most people think electricity. And I'm going to start off this morning to wake us all up, going from more than just electricity and what nuclear really can do. This is a very busy line chart. But this is what nuclear can do going forwards. And I'm going to talk us through it a bit. So nuclear's primary energy source, when you split your uranium, is heat. At the moment, we take that heat and we put it through a turbine generator into the grid. That's a relatively inefficient use of that really high-quality, rich heat. So how about if we actually use that heat to help with making hydrogen generation? And I'll explain in a bit more later how nuclear and the heat from the reactor can help. When it gets onto industry, the same. We don't actually want energy. We want the product of energy. We want our metals to be molten so we can cast them. We want the glass the same, so we can make the products out of it. We want our homes to be warm. We want the energy to make our suits and our clothes. It's not the energy we want, it's the product. We don't want heat, we want the product that heat gives us. And it's the same here. Nuclear reactor has heat to give you a route to make that product or that service that you want. That is very busy for 9:30 on a Thursday morning. For those that have popped out to the stand, you will have seen the not-so-complicated model of an energy system in Lego, 20,000 pieces of Lego. What better way to explain to people what an energy system of the future might look like and the part that nuclear might play? That Lego model explains all the parts that line chart shows as well. It is showing how all the low-carbon renewables, along with nuclear, can work together to provide those energy vectors to then give you all those decarbonisation routes for industry, for transportation, as well as electricity. Electricity is only 19% of energy demand. The rest is almost all of our transport, our jet airlines, our cargo ships, majority of road transport still, and all of our industry. We've done the easiest bit. We've all got a wire to our house. We're decarbonising that very well. And the whole point of this is to help on that engagement bit. We heard yesterday of a workshop that happened. Somebody stood up saying, what do you mean by decarbonisation? That is the challenge that we face. A lot of people still need to come on the journey. Chris mentioned public engagement. We do a lot with our Lego model, as you can see here, on that. That engagement when it comes to skills as well, is very important. We need to bring people on this journey with us and help people understand what nuclear can do and will do going forward. So going in a bit more detail into nuclear and what nuclear is. Nuclear is amongst the lowest carbon emitter of all energy generating sources. Including all the concrete, the transportation, etc., because a nuclear power station is operating 24/7 energy dense, it is amongst the lowest carbon emitter of all power sources, equal with wind and solar. It's amongst the safest. Public perception of nuclear is a pain. And part of it is because we keep telling you how safe we are. If I kept telling you all this stage is ultra safe, you'll be really safe on this stage. If I kept saying that enough to you, the next speaker will be paranoid. Because why am I going on so much about how safe it is? And it gets back to the public engagement piece. How we talk about nuclear, we have this Lego model to help. Nuclear is the safest, along with wind and solar, in terms of energy generation. Most energy dense. A nuclear reactor, the footprint of it, compared to the energy you get, it's an immensely energy dense fuel source. And it's non-stop, reliable, 24/7, 365. It just sits there. At the moment, we call it our base load on the grid. It just sits there churning out 24/7. And it offers cogen, and that's what I want to cover and focus on a bit more. It offers you opportunity for your heat or electricity. Our first nuclear power station, our second one up at Sellafield, was cogen. Cogen's not new from nuclear. Sellafield's site is still steam heated and the power around all the different plants. Cogen from nuclear isn't new. In terms of types of reactors we've got, our current ones are the large-scale reactors, the top image there, and Hinkley Point C is exactly that. Two 1.6 gigawatt units stuck together, 3.2 gig from Hinkley. Next up, we have small modular reactors. That's the same technology, but on a modular build type effect. So effectively, a car manufacturing plant, imagine that. You've got a couple of robots, you're making your modules, you then ship them out somewhere, and the modules are stuck together. And that's where the next generation currently going through a round of government funding is looking at deploying SMRs into 2030. Next up is exciting, the advanced modular reactors. These are the next generation technology. These operate up to 950 degrees Celsius. That unlocks a vast amount of industrial decarbonization that requires that heat in that sort of range. So AMRs, as we'll hear from X Energy in a minute as well, unlock a lot of opportunity there. And I'll come on to discussing AMRs a bit in the presentation. Right, going back to hydrogen. Hydrogen has been a word used a lot. We go back to my word bingo. I think if I had hydrogen on it, it would definitely be the most scoring word over the last 24 hours. Low temp electrolysis is what we can couple up to our wind and our solar. And what happens there is you just effectively apply electricity to split your water. The key benefit of nuclear is that the high capacity, constant energy generation that nuclear offers, that constant output, that constant reliable amount of hydrogen that you produced. The exciting bit, which most people didn't hear know about yesterday when they came and spoke to me, is that nuclear offers this heat, which can offer you steam. Spitting steam is far easier than spitting cold water. So high temperature steam electrolysis, you're now taking your steam and you're applying water to it. So you've got over energy vaporization, you've now applied electricity, you've now got your hydrogen. That's pretty awesome. You've now managed to produce more hydrogen, and I'll come on to some of the numbers on the next slide. Next up, thermochemical. Thermochemical is just a chemical process. You may have heard of copper chloride, sulfur iodide. It is a process, a chemical process, doesn't involve electricity in the same way. Advanced modular reactors could unlock this. It could unlock this new technology to produce the vast amount of hydrogen that we're going to require going forward. Because it's early, I'm not going to go into great depth on this slide. What I am going to show you is some of the key factors. One, you'll see that drop 100 degrees Celsius. That's exactly what I mentioned before. You've got over 100 degrees Celsius energy vaporization. You've then got the benefit of, because you are now working with steam, over potentials, the amount of electricity required, it's less. I'm going to leave it there for now. If you want to ask me more about that point later, you can. But this is really showing us the benefit, and all our modeling on the GPOMs you can see there as well helps explain this some more. That then leads into the output of the model, which I want to focus on a bit more. Nuclear reactor to electricity to hydrogen production, that low temperature electrolysis I was talking about, you can produce 1.84 kilograms of hydrogen. How about if we tap off some of that heat before it goes into the turbines and the generators? Let's tap off 93 megajoules of that and send that straight in the electrolyzer. Now look what happens. About 50% increase in efficiency of the hydrogen generated. All we've done there is tap off a very small amount of that heat and had it as an input going into the electrolyzer at the end to produce more hydrogen. Quite cool, really. This is all summarized in a paper that was released last month. And we've got the QR code on our stand if you want to come and look into this some more. So what were the key findings of this paper? High temperature steam electrolysis, but that last slide was showing, of significant efficiencies over cold water electrolysis. The models, the data on the left slide show that. Cost-wise, nuclear with this temperature steam electrolysis should be cost competitive with hydrogen from renewables. Again, awesome. We're now looking at cost competitive hydrogen production to renewables. Going forward, we believe from the work we've done, the HTSE is still going to be the go-to form of hydrogen generation for the foreseeable future. Even with our SMRs going forward, we see HTSE and nuclear to be coupling the best way to make your hydrogen. Beyond 2040s, when we start thinking about advanced modular reactors, the thermochemical, the higher temperature you can offer to those nuclear reactors might become more viable. But at the moment, we're still seeing HTSE as the go-to hydrogen generation form. I'm now going to move on to the advanced modular reactor program. So I skipped over the three types of reactors before, the gigawatt, small reactors, and then this new form of reactor, the advanced modular reactor. With government at the moment, there is a Phase B program underway looking at front-end engineering design of taking a Japanese design, a high-temperature test reactor, and deploying it in the UK. And we're working with JEA, our counterparts over in Japan, on the design and bringing this across to the UK. Now, we are aware it's a vital part of the energy transition going forward. We are aware what nuclear can offer. We are aware that 950 degrees Celsius will be awesome to industry. What we're not sure on yet is exactly what your end user requirements are. We're not quite sure whether you want 950 degrees Celsius heat, whether you want the hydrogen, what energy vector you want for your process. How much do you need? Is it batch? Is it continuous? We really want to engage with the end users to really understand this and to help you on your decarbonization journey. So please, could I invite you, if you are an end user, to scan that QR code and just put in your name, email address, and where you work for, because that will then allow us to start this conversation. We're working with government to help them effectively understand the case for this vital investment in the UK. And as I mentioned, that can unlock these higher temperatures. So that's kind of the key message, and why one of the things we're here this week to discuss is to really help understand how we can help you on that decarbonisation journey. So to wrap up, hopefully in that whistle stop 13-ish minutes, you've heard the word nuclear mentioned infinitely more times than yesterday. And you've also heard what nuclear can do. And please keep the conversation going. When people think about nuclear, don't just think electrons into the grid. Think it's direct heat. How can we use that heat in our variety of applications, be it industry, transportation, the various aims, what you need as your energy vector. There's not one perfect solution. I think I'm so loud they're even closing the door on me now. There's not one perfect solution. We need all the energy vectors working together. And we've produced a report called Decarbonization and Regional Growth, Why Don't You Talk About Nuclear? And this goes through a lot of what I've discussed here. It goes through the options of hydrogen, syn-fuel, direct heat, what that can offer. It goes into public polling. 1 in 10 people don't know anything about nuclear, they report in our public polling. We want to change that. It also has 2 case studies in, one about aviation and how hydrogen can help with aviation, and the second one, working with Heidelberg, is all around the Bay Hydrogen Hub project, hydrogen from a nuclear reactor, so SOEC gets up to a nuclear reactor, making your hydrogen, hydrogen transportation, and being used as end use at Heidelberg. So that was Whistle Stop Tour, hopefully not too fast for 9:30 on a Thursday morning. I look forward to your questions. Thank you very much.